in the John chapter 3, the third chapter of the John. He's going to read the last verse. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. For a number of years, I was in the insurance business, and I've always been interested in the comparison between preaching the gospel and selling life insurance, because what we offer to you is everlasting life. We offer to you an eternal life. It's very much like the life insurance business, because when you sell somebody life insurance, they're really just taking your word for it that they're ever going to get anything, because all you give them is a piece of paper. They don't see any of the money, and they just take your word for it. Well, in a very real way, that's how you and I are saved. We take God's word for it. We operate on faith. God doesn't give us anything that we can take to the bank, so to speak. But we do have God's eternal word, and we want to talk about it from that point of view this morning. One man went to try and sell insurance to a fellow that had a kind of a cantankerous wife. And he said to the man, "Would you like for me to come and show you this policy?" And he said, "No, I don't want to buy any life insurance. I'm none too safe at home as it is." So you don't have to worry about that from this point of view. You're perfectly safe putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to sell you this policy this morning. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, we would like you to buy this life insurance policy. You can buy it without money and without price, as we'll see. But we'd like you to lay hold of it. And those of us that know Christ as our personal Savior, I'd like to renew with you again the value of the policy. When I was in insurance, I was a manager for most of the years, and I trained my men to do two things: to sell the policy and to service the policy. Whether it was life or auto or whatever it was they sold, we were to service the policy. And that means to make sure that people understand what the coverage are and to see that the coverages are up to date. And so we want to remind you again of the coverages and so forth as far as the policy is concerned. There are many things about the policy that are unique. First of all, it's an everlasting life policy. It's not a death policy. What men call life insurance generally only pays off unless it's a paid-up policy that's going to pay a certain amount of money, but most of them cover you if you die. The relatives get the money. You don't get the money. So in a very real way, it's a death policy rather than a life policy. But this is a life policy because it benefits your family. Not only if you die, like in the case of life insurance, it benefits if you die, but it benefits your family if you live. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll be a better father. You'll be a better husband. You'll be a better man. You'll be a better employee. You'll be a better employer. If you really put your trust in Christ, your life is changed by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Secondly, we're going to talk about the fact that there's no physical requirement. Thirdly, there's no down payment and there's no future payments. Fourthly, I want to discuss the coverage. And then fifthly, I want to cover the extra benefits. And sixthly and finally, I want to talk about the cash and loan values of the policy. Now, our text that we quoted said that God offers unto us salvation, and it's said in this verse, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's salvation. "And he that believeth not the Son of God hath not life." We see the same thing a number of times in John's Gospel. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And John 3:15 says that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So our question this morning is, are you a policyholder in the world's oldest insurance company? And you're the only one that knows for sure. I may think I know by the way you live and by your profession. But you alone know for sure whether you've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, because God gives you the assurance. When my children were saved, God didn't give me the assurance in the same way He gave them the assurance. We saw some changes in them that gave us assurance, but basically God gives you the assurance. Now this company has more policyholders than any other company in the world. Because even the policy holders that are not here anymore physically are still alive. You see, my mother used to think there were only two times when you should miss going to the meeting. One is if you were dead and then you were meeting up there, she'd say. Or otherwise, you should be at the meeting here. She thought you should always be at the meeting. And she always reminded me of the fact that whether you're alive or dead, if you put your trust in Christ, you're a part of the family of God. You're a part of the church. A great deal of the church is already in heaven. Remember, the Lord said, I am the God of Abram, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I am the God of the living. He's not the God of the dead, but He's the God of the living. You know, those men had been dead for many years when the Lord Jesus made that statement. And you see, the thing is that when you see Him on the Mount of Transfiguration, He's there with Moses and Elijah, and they've been there dead for years, and yet the disciples, Peter, James, and John, they saw Him up there. So you and I, if we put our trust in the Savior, we put our trust in one who's a living God and Savior. And He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, an insurance company cannot replace mom or dad. They can only replace some of the income that they may have made if they had lived. But God gives unto us life, eternal life. Romans 6:23 said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. One little boy asked his father, his soul was insured. His father said, why do you ask? He said, well, Uncle George said you have your house insured, you have your car insured, and you have your barn insured. You have everything insured, but not your soul. And that's the question we ask. Is your soul insured? This body, you can insure this body, but you see, this body is not going to ever get to heaven anyway. We're going to have our bodies changed on the way up. And so these bodies are going to be left behind. And when you see me, you only see the body in which I live. This is not me. It's the soul that lives within me. And we know that because even medicine tells you, you don't see with your eyes, you see through your eyes. You don't hear with your ears, you hear through your ears. You don't speak, the brain is doing all of the work. And you see, it's the soul within you that operates. And this old body can be left behind. Now, secondly, we said there is no physical required. I've had a triple bypass and I'm diabetic, you see, but it doesn't make any difference. You can be saved just the same. It doesn't matter what your physical condition is. It doesn't matter how near death you are. You remember the thief on the cross said to the Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was a few hours away at best from death, and the Lord saved him. As long as you're in this world, you can be saved. When you leave this world, I don't believe you can be saved, and I say that carefully, but the Lord said He had power on earth to forgive sins. Because of God's plan, this is the place that you can be saved. Now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And you and I don't need to worry about our body's condition anyway, because we're going to get a new body. I'm not going to have this body anyway. The Lord's going to give me a new body. We're told in 1 Corinthians 15 that this mortal will take on immortality, and this corruption will take on incorruption. And we're told when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So He's going to give us a new body anyway. And then thirdly, there's no down payment, and there's no future payments. You see, if I could have sold policies that way, I could have sold a mass of policies when I was with State Farm Insurance, you see. But I always had to collect money. They didn't put it in force unless you showed up with the money. But our Lord Jesus says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works,
lest any man should boast. And once we put our trust in Him, once we accept that, we can never be lost. We can never lose our life policy. We can never be thrown out of the company for any reason. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, I know people who put their trust in Christ as their personal Savior, and they think they have to keep themselves saved. But once you buy this policy, you never have to make another payment. You never have to worry. Once you buy this policy, by putting your trust in Christ, you buy it without price. But once you buy it, it's yours for time and for eternity. It's a non-cancelable policy. We used to have some of those that we could sell. You know how you get a non-cancelable policy? You pay all the premium in advance. That's how you get it. It's all paid up. And the Lord Jesus said at Calvary's cross, it is finished. The price has all been paid. The work has all been done. And all you have to do is sign up, as it were, with the company. The policies are all paid for. Christ paid the price of your sins. And that's what needed to be paid for so that you and I could have an everlasting life policy. And it was all done at Calvary's cross, and all you have to do is accept it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul told the Philippian jailer, and thou shalt be saved. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the founder of the Everlasting Life Company. And like one insurance company says, Prudential, they said, we're fastened on the rock. We're like the rock Gibraltar. They add all the time. Well, you and I, we have our feet planted on a rock. On the rock, Christ Jesus, the founder, the cornerstone of the work. And you and I can rest in that. Jude 24 says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and our Savior, you and I rest in the fact that our Lord Jesus has paid the price fully. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 to 19 says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. The hope in the New Testament is God's promise. The promise set before us, which promise we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. And you and I were anchored in the rock when we put our trust in Him. And then fourthly, there's no questionnaire, and there's no investigation. Now, I don't know how many of you have been in the insurance business, and I don't know how the insurance business is today, because I've been out of it for almost 30 years. But, 25 years, I guess. But at any rate, when we were in the business, we had to take a questionnaire. And for instance, if you happen to be a wrestler, if you happen to have a criminal background, if you happen to be a tightrope walker or somebody who trains people to jump out of airplanes, you know, they say if at first you don't succeed, so much for skydiving. You see, if you're training those kind of fellows, and they're not too apt to want to insure you. And if they do, they're going to jack up the premium a great deal. And many people don't realize that, but when you fill out the questionnaire, they check those things out. And many times they make you take, if you're buying a lot of insurance, and particularly if you get older, they may make you take a lot of physicals as well. But our Lord Jesus welcomes those who come regardless of their past. In fact, we're told that the Lord Jesus came in the world to save sinners. So it doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter what kind of work you do. It doesn't matter whether you're going to die. He knows anyway. The founder of our company doesn't have to do an investigation. He knows all of these things. He lives in the eternal present. And so he knows. And he welcomes everyone who will come, regardless of your past sins. He said to the disciples in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a policy that's for sinners. And you and I should be glad of that, because all of us are sinners. We're sinners by nature. We're born in sin, naked and shapen in iniquity, we're told. We're also sinners by practice. But we don't get to be sinners by sinning. We're sinners, and so we sin. A dog doesn't bark to prove he's a dog. A dog barks because he is a dog. And you and I sin because we are sinners. And God came to save sinners. And we should be happy for that. I think I mentioned to you that Queen Victoria said that she was glad for the M in the Bible. Queen Victoria was a believer in the Lord Jesus, and she said she was glad for the M in the Bible. Because there's a portion in the Bible that says, not many mighty, not many noble are called. It didn't say not any. It said not many. And she was glad for the M that included her. And you and I can be glad because God says that those of us that put our trust in Him will be saved, regardless of our own situation. There's a very small number of people adequately covered with life insurance. When I was in the business, we estimated less than 12% of the people in America were adequately covered. Most people, if the husband died, the wives, without going to work, probably wouldn't be able to live more than 6 months under most circumstances. Most people are inadequately insured. And believe it or not, insurance is one of the few things that's gone down over the last years because it's based on mortality. And you can buy a whole lot more insurance today than when I sold it for the same amount of money. When I sold insurance, the average man died at the age of 69. Today it's about 84, 85. And since it's based on mortality, you can buy insurance much cheaper today. Unfortunately, you need more, so it costs as much or more today. I hate to tell you that, but that's the truth. But actually, the price of it per unit has gone down. And the reason that people don't make it available is because they simply do not believe that they need it. When I was in the insurance business, I met a man. I heard him speak to us, and he was one of the greatest life insurance salesmen in America at the time. And he said what he did was he sold bread, meat, and potatoes, and he backed up the hearse. He actually used to carry a little miniature casket in and set it in the middle of the table. Because unless that husband, if you're selling it to the husband, which normally you are, unless that husband really can see himself as dying, he sees absolutely no need of having life insurance. And if you're here today and you do not see as a truth the fact that God's judgment is soon going to come upon this world, as was mentioned in prayer, if you do not see as a fact that you're a sinner and that all sin is against God and that God has a perfect right to judge sin and God is going to one day judge sin, if you don't see that, you do not see any need for this everlasting life policy about what we're talking. And so it's very important that you understand the need of the everlasting life policy. You need to understand that you need the policy and you need to be covered. And that's a problem that many do not think about. They don't think it's going to happen to them. They think it's going to happen to somebody else, but not to them. When I trained my men, I trained them to always make the people make a decision. Didn't matter whether they said yes or no, because selling is a law of averages business, and if they do their job well, they'll sell a certain amount of policy. But sometimes you're in a home and you just absolutely know that this person really needs insurance. I was in a man's home. His house was valued at about $300,000. He had another $200,000 worth of cars, boats, bicycles, TVs, and all these kind of things. And he owed for most of it. He had a good job and was able to pay. But the thing was, he had $5,000 worth of insurance. If he died, his wife couldn't even pay the interest for 1 month of the money he owed. and he couldn't see any need. He said, well, I'm a young man, I'm not going to die. Sometimes you feel really bad when you leave that situation. And I used to tell my men to try to get them to really help people to see the situation if they could afford the insurance. For this reason, there was a man that had received a large bonus, and he asked the insurance man to come and to sell him a policy to protect his wife. And at that time, this is many years ago, at that time the policy that he wanted was a $25,000 policy. And he wanted to buy it, and he wanted to pay for it with the money from his bonus. He wanted to pay a year's premium on the policy, right then. And his wife said no, said, you promised me that if you got a bonus, you'd buy me a new refrigerator. He said, well, we'll buy the refrigerator, we'll put it on payment. He said, no, you promised. And he didn't buy the insurance policy. He said, we'll wait. And 4 days later, there was an explosion at the plant, and he was killed. And when you went into the house of that lady, she would show you that refrigerator. She said, that's a $25,000 refrigerator. She could have had $25,000 of coverage. But she said, we can wait. But they couldn't wait. And perhaps you're here today and you think you can wait. But perhaps you can't wait. Today may be your day. You may think you can't be killed. But it's possible. And remember that if you want life, if you want eternal life instead of eternal death, you have to put your trust in Christ. Now the second of the coverages that come, first of all, the life comes, as we've just been talking about. And secondly, you have the coverage of peace. It's spoken of in John 14, verse 27. The Lord says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. From the ancient times, the hearts of men have longed for peace. Not merely that there be no more war, but peace. More particularly, the peace of the mind and the heart. In the early days of Israel, we have the benediction, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Sanskrit invocations are peace, peace, peace. The Mohammedan greeting of old is peace be upon thee. Where can we secure the peace that men have longed for through the centuries? The answer given us in the words of the founder of the company are these. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You and I have peace in him. These things have I spoken unto you, he says, that in me you might have peace. The peace that brings a calm to the soul, even amid the storms that sweep through every life, is to be found in him. It can be found nowhere else. This is found only in our policy, and our founder rose from the dead himself. This was a promise in his last will and testament. He said, peace I leave with you, and he rose from the dead to see that every promise he made you, you will personally keep. And then third coverage is joy. In John 15:11, we read, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord speaks a number of times of joy. John speaks a number of times of joy. And the poet says, taste for yourself, and you will say, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. And then another coverage that every believer, every person who has this everlasting life policy has is love. John 17:26, we talked about it this morning. The Lord said, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. We reminded this morning that the love that the Father has for us, the love that the Son has for us, are manifested in the Lord Jesus. And you and I manifest it to others. The Lord says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. A visitor said to a poor dying soldier in the hospital, what church are you of? He said, the Church of Christ. He said, I mean, of what persuasion are you? And the dying man, as he lifted his eyes heavenward, said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Another coverage that's guaranteed in this policy, John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Lord has promised to comfort us as we go through this life. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth it not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And then we also have coverage for companionship. He says, lo, I am with you always. The Lord has promised to go with us through this life. I like to remind our hearts of the fact that when the Lord said to Adam, I mean to Noah, to come into the ark, he didn't say go into the ark, he said come into the ark. When Noah went out of the ark, he said go out of the ark. So it proves that he was with him in the ark. And the Lord goes with us through the trials of this life. And we know his companionship. And then we have all our daily needs supplied. We don't have time to read all of that to you, but if you look in Luke chapter 2 at your leisure in the 12th chapter, or Luke chapter 12, I mean, in the 22nd verse on, you see how the Lord meets our needs. You remember he told us in Matthew 6, take no thought what you shall eat or what you shall drink, what you shall put on. The Father knoweth that you have need of these things. He reminded us that even Solomon, in all his glory, is not cared for any better than you and I who put our trust in him. And then, sixthly, we see the benefits. And one of the benefits that we have for belonging to the everlasting life company and putting our trust in him is we have worship. You remember the wise men, it says, when they came where the young child was, probably in Nazareth, certainly not at Bethlehem. But when he came where the young child was, it says they opened their gifts and they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, it says that. And yet they had never heard him preach. They had never seen him perform one miracle. There was nothing about this baby to distinguish him from any other baby. And yet they worshiped him. It doesn't say they worshiped the mother, they worshiped the baby. Why? Because of the wonder of his person. And you and I, we come together to worship him because of the wonder of who he is. And the wonder of what he's done for us. When you read the Apostle Paul again and again, you read of the blessings that the Apostle Paul speaks of, that the Lord has given us, and is giving us, and will give us. But when you read the Apostle John, he speaks of the plethora. He speaks of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I, when we come into his presence, we realize the privilege of remembering him, of coming into his presence to be thankful to him. Matthew 4:10 says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He is only your God, truly, when you put your trust in him. 1 Corinthians 11, he says, this do in remembrance of me until I come. The Lord instituted that, you know, in Luke chapter 22, but he said, this do in remembrance of me. But he gave to Paul those added words, until he come. We did that this morning. And our brother prayed, it may be the last time. It's the first time today, it may be the last time that you and I remember him in just such a way. The Lord may come, and so we need to make decisions about him today. And then the second benefit is prayer. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you and I, many of us have known the power of prayer in our lives. He also says, cast all your care upon him. Dr. A.C. Dixon of Spurgeon's Tabernacle once said, when we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. And when we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do. And all of these are important in their proper place, but when we rely upon prayer, we get what God can do. And we don't have to pray. It's a benefit that we have when we put our trust in him. And then thirdly, under the benefits, we have the Bible with the help of God the Spirit to make it real to our lives, to interpret it. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You and I that have studied the word of God, have looked at the word of God, we realize that God's word is a textbook for everything. God has given us this book as a guide for life. If 1,000 of us could be dropped on an island where we had never seen anybody else or knew anybody else, and we had only the Bible, we could have almost a perfect relationship. It was proven during World War II. Just before then, some missionaries going to Japan dropped off a Bible, or two Bibles. They gave it to two brothers in this village. And when they came back, one of them had turned out to be the teacher of the schools, and the other had turned out to be the mayor of the village. And when the American soldiers retook that island in the Philippines after the war, it was a clean village. There was no crime. Every child above the age of responsibility had put their trust in Christ as their Savior. They were well educated. Why? Because their whole life had been predicated on the rules and the promises of this book. When you and I put our trust in him, we find that God has everything we need to know. He even has a lot of things that people have no idea in there. One man told me a while back the reason he didn't put his trust in the Bible is because it had so many things in there that didn't make sense. They weren't true in the light of other things. And I said, well, I'd certainly like for you to show me some of those. I've been studying the Bible most of my life, and I'd like to know. He said, well, I've never read the Bible. Well, he would be an expert in what was in the Bible if he'd never read the Bible. And many people think they know. But let me give you a couple things that scientists think they've discovered over the last year. They discovered that the north above the earth is empty. The scientists said this just a few years ago. The Bible said it 3,400 years ago in Job 26:7. He stretches out the north over the empty place. Science also says air has no weight, something they learned not too many years ago. The Bible told us this over 3,400 years ago in Job 28 and verse 25. The earth must balance, thirdly. The Bible gave us this information over 2,600 years ago in Isaiah 40:12. It says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in balance. And fourthly, the earth hangs of nothing. The Bible told us this 3,400 years ago in Job 26:7, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. They learned recently that the stars do not deviate in their courses. The Bible flashed this fact over 3,200 years ago in Judges 5:20, the stars in their courses. And they learned that the sand keeps the ocean in. The Bible tells us that in Jeremiah 5:22, fear ye not me, said the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which is placed the sand for a bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. And then we have the benefit of fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 does not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. And I can surely say from my point of view, I agree with the poet that said, glad I am that in God's plan there was fellowship for man. Matthew 18:20, the Lord said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of it. John 1:3 says, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ as well. And then another benefit is service, another privilege given only to God's people. God could have angels to do it, but He enables us to do it. He encourages us to do it. He gives us everything we need to do it. Matthew 24:26 says of the service, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And the final benefit is we have a place in heaven. And that's a guaranteed benefit. The Lord said in John 14, if I go, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The hymn writer says, only glory by and by. Only glory by and by. Every heartache gone for us. Only glory by and by. And he tells us, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, that he's going to come himself. The Lord shall come himself from heaven with a shout. And then seventh, we see the cash or loan value. We're told that we can draw on his riches down here as we need to. God will supply according to his riches for each one that puts their trust in him. And seventh, and finally, we have the dividends and interest, the extra things for putting our faith and trust in the company all those years. 2 Corinthians 3:8 says, now he that planteth and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We're told that a cup of cool water given his name will not go unrewarded. Each thing that we do for Christ is going to be rewarded. Everything that we do of no value is going to be burned up, but everything we do of value is going to reward in that day. And we're going to have a share in the profits of the company as well. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, we're told in Romans 8 and verse 17. And we help run the company in the millennium, says in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And Acts 2:47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're here and you're not a policy holder, the Lord is perfectly willing right now. You don't have to look for the Lord. The Holy Spirit is striving with your heart right now. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be a part of the company. Everyone that wants to have a policy in this company can have one without money and without price. You know, when I was in the insurance business, you know, the very best kind of policyholder you could have is the one who gave you referrals. He was the one who would tell you about somebody else that needed your services. And you could, and I can all do that. We can all tell others about this wonderful everlasting life policy. We can tell them about the wonderful founder of the company who went to Calvary's cross and bought a paid-up policy for every single soul that will put their trust in him. That's our privilege. May God help us to enter in to the wonder of this everlasting life policy which Christ won for us at Calvary's cross. Souls are being added every day. But one day, the door is going to close. And the last soul will have been saved. And it'll be too late. May God help you to make a wise decision while you make today is the accepted time in God's sight. There's only today. There's no such thing as tomorrow anyway. No such thing as yesterday. Those are words. You only live now. Now is the time. That's why we pray every day for the Lord's blessing for today, because today is all we have. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the wonder of the fact that this salvation is free. This salvation is sure. This salvation is for now. This salvation assures all of the things we've talked about. We know, our God and Father, that Thou would have all men to be saved. Thy Son paid the price that all could be blessed. And we pray, our God and Father, to be Thy gracious will, that not one soul will go out of this room today unsaved. We pray that if they have not put their trust in Thee, that Thou will give them no peace or satisfaction until they turn to Him whom to know is life eternal. We pray, our God and Father, that if they need courage, that Thou would give them the courage to stay behind and to talk to someone if they do not know. We know they can be saved simply by turning to Thee. But should they need answers, we ask that Thou would help them to stay. And those of us that know Christ, may we realize what a wonderful policy we have with all of the coveredness and all of the benefits that are ours, not because we deserve them, but because Thou dost love us with an everlasting love. And so we commend ourselves to Thee for this day. We ask Thy blessing on the memorial service this afternoon, the gospel this evening, wherever Thy word goes forth today, we ask Thy blessing on it, particularly in these Bahama Islands. We commend them into Thy care, those that minister and those that hear. We ask it in His name.